89 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Revolution of Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, CG Atlantic, Ron's Electric Motors, Airborne Freight and Cargo Service, Popeyes, Bahamas Check Services, and Baja Retreat and Spa.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to the revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Yesterday, we didn't get a chance to go through the coming health rules. Now we're tabled in the House of Assembly, but we will do so today, and we're just going to jump into it. Now, there are two pieces of legislation that were tabled. One is called the Health Services COVID-19 Prevention and Management of Community Spread Rules 2021. And one is called the Health Services COVID-19 General Rules 2021. I'll be lying to you if I understood why two separate pieces of legislation were needed, because some of this stuff overlaps. But two separate pieces of legislation is what we have. So this is going to kick into effect on November 13th. The current emergency order ends on November 13th after having been in place since March of 2020. I have never supported the emergency powers being conducted in the manner that they have. I can understand having an emergency order in place at the very beginning of the pandemic as you tried to sort your way through it, but it just became a total farce with the Prime Minister essentially playing games with people. Lockdown here, lockdown. Food store A through M, last name on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. You know, so the power to shift our civil liberties on a dime being vested in one person who I don't think was the right person to have that vested in. It's too much, and people are tired of it. All right? People have been tired of it. Having said that, these rules still impose limits on your civil liberties. Make no mistake about it. The argument was always that you could do this through ordinary legislation as opposed to emergency powers where the competent authority just rule by dictate. Right? Beach closed this day. Beach open that day. Beach closed at noon. And some... Anyway, let me not re-go through this. So many people. And someone said to me, like, oh, they lost respect for me because of how I was doing the emergency... Talking about the emergency powers, and they understand now because it was, my mother was sick. No, dude. No, that wasn't it at all. And if you lost respect for me, that's on you. I didn't think the pandemic was being managed properly, and clearly there was not a consultative approach taken in terms of the broader cabinet and public. All right? And so to the extent that you're using this thing to play games with us, this business can open here, this business can't open here, and without any sort of scientific data being presented to inform us of that, made no sense. All right, and so it was just something that needed to end a long time ago, and you governed through ordinary legislation. Through all of this, emergency powers, and I'm doing what to protect the people and all that stuff like that. Thousands of people, 20,000 plus people got infected. Almost 700 people died. Hospitals were ram-jam for months. So we don't need the emergency powers to conduct life on an acceptable, safe level. Again, having said that, this vests broad powers in the Minister of Health, almost as broad as those that were vested in the competent authority. All right. However, the Health Services Act always vested very broad powers in the Minister of Health in terms of infectious diseases. So the health minister always could have controlled and always has had control over who's allowed in the country, given that there's an infectious disease outbreak. And who can enter, who can't enter, what ships can come, what ships can't come, what planes come, what planes can't come, etc. He always had these powers. This just specifically speaks to COVID-19. All right? Now, let me break this down. All right, we're going to go through first the amendment. So this is amending the Health Services Act. This is adding to the Health Services Act another chapter. Okay, so when I explained to you that we always could have used the Health Services Act, and I was told, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, and da, 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 da. Well, that's what's happening now. We're amending the Health Services Act by adding another chapter that deals with COVID-19 rules. All right. Again, I don't understand why one amendment couldn't suffice. Anyway. The rules come into operation on the 13th day of November, 2021. The rules apply to all islands of the Bahamas unless otherwise specified and shall be read and construed in conjunction with the Health Services COVID-19 General Rules 2021. All right? So the first thing it basically does is declare that there's a pandemic. All right? For the purposes of Section 29 of the Act, which we'll get into later, it is hereby declared that there exists in the Bahamas a pandemic of COVID-19. So this is declaring a pandemic. Now, let's be clear about another thing, right? This legislation has no end date for the pandemic in it. You see, the interpretation of the Constitution that the former administration was going by is that you couldn't extend an emergency order for more than 6 months. Reading the Constitution, I didn't interpret it that way, but they wanted to just be err on the side of caution. So the emergency orders had end dates. This has no end date. And of course, you can repeal or amend any piece of legislation anytime you want. But this has no end date. So for the foreseeable future, these are the rules that we're going to live under. Okay? And go through definitions. I want to just make clear where we're hearing ministry, all right? It means the ministry responsible for public health. Okay? When you hear ministry, it means ministry responsible for public health. All right? So we're just going to start off at the top. Entry requirements for citizens, legal residents, and visitors. Except as otherwise provided, a citizen or legal resident of the Bahamas who presents a health visa or a visitor who presents a travel health visa complies with all other legal requirements for entry pursuant to the provisions of the Immigration Act shall be permitted to enter the Bahamas. Okay, so let's talk about the health visa for a second. Now, don't let your mouth write a check your butt can't cash, right? So I don't know if you recall, the PLP said that the health visa was a corrupt scam, and they were going to end it. All right? The current prime minister, when he was still in opposition, said that there would be no travel health visa. Okay? But yet they still have kept it. They've changed it dramatically in a number of instances. But there's still a health visa. If you want to come to the Bahamas, even if you're a Bahamian citizen, you need a health visa. This corrupt scam that they talked about, that's what you need. Now, I don't know who's collecting the money or whatever like that. There's $40 million budgeted for the health visa in the supplementary budget. All right? And it doesn't, what's interesting about it, there's no allocation beyond the end of June next year. So will we have a health visa by the end of June next year? Will it go away? But there certainly is $40 million allocated. And that, I believe, matches the figure that was allocated in the last budget that the FNM passed. All right? But there is, no doubt about it, still a travel health visa, even though you promised there would be no travel health visa. So I don't, and what's interesting about it is Davis said they were going to end the health visa. Cooper never said it, but then Cooper came and said, no, we're keeping it. We like it. So you wonder if, like, they were on the same page with it the entire time. And Davis has had no objection to it. He's said, okay. In fact, they've built it into the law. Requirements for issue of travel health visa. One, an applicant for a travel health visa who's fully vaccinated shall submit via the travel health visa portal documentary evidence that he's fully vaccinated against COVID-19. Undergo a COVID-19 test administered by an accredited lab no more than 5 days before travel is to commence, and submit or cause to be submitted to the ministry via its travel health website results of the test together with his contact and other required information. All right, so it just says COVID-19 test. Doesn't say what kind of COVID-19 test, does it? You'd be like, well, hell, I cucked up a COVID-19 test of my own that shows I'm negative. I'm just going to put that through. No. COVID-19 test means any molecular test methods utilizing nucleic acid amplification or antigen tests as recommended by the World Health Organization for the diagnosis or identification of acute infection with SARS-CoV-2 by detecting unique gene targets, yada, yada, yada. Okay? Approved by the ministry. A COVID-19 test, according to the definitions, includes a rapid antigen test or an RT-PCR test, all right? So you can have a rapid antigen test or an RT-PCR test if you're fully vaccinated and you're entering the country, okay? If you are not fully vaccinated, you need to have an RT-PCR test admitted by an accredited lab and submit or cause to be submitted to the ministry via its travel health website, results of the test together with his contact and other required information, okay? Now, I don't see in here where there's a time limit on the RT-PCR test for a not fully vaccinated adult, but let me continue because there's a timeline for children who are not vaccinated. This says, a child between the age of 5 and 11 shall undergo a COVID-19 test administered by an accredited lab no more than 5 days before travel is to commence, and the parent or guardian of that child shall submit it to the website. All right? If the travel visa is approved, the person has to pay the fee set out in the first schedule. So let's go all the way to the bottom and define the first schedule. This is somewhat dense legislation, but we'll get through it as best we can. All right, first schedule. Fees for travel health visa to enter the Bahamas. For a fully vaccinated person, citizen or resident, none. If you're a fully vaccinated citizen or resident, there's no fee for the travel health visa. You just go to a website, put it in, apply. That's it. For a visitor from North America, USA or Canada, it's $40. For a visitor from any other country, it's $50. Why? Anyway. persons who are not fully vaccinated, who are applying with an RT-PCR test, it's $40. For visitor from North America, under 5-day stay is $40. Visitor from North America over a 5-day stay is $60. Visitor from any other country is $70. Travel health visas for inter-island travel. Citizen or resident, none. Fully vaccinated, non-citizen or non-resident, none. Unvaccinated, non-citizen or non-resident, $25. No fee is payable for a travel health visa for a child 11 years or younger, or for the pilot or crew of a commercial air operator. Okay? So those are the fees associated with travel health visa. You want to come to the Bahamas, you're going to need a travel health visa. Okay? Now, we're going to understand better who governs the rules, talk about how the minister is established as the one who deals with the pandemic. All right? I want you to understand what's supposed to inform. Well, actually, let me just deal with this first, and then we can talk about that. All right, failure to comply, citizen or legal resident, detained at an appropriate place designated by the minister, and screened in accordance with Rule 20. We can get into Rule 20. A visitor who enters the Bahamas and fails to comply, detained, screened in accordance with Rule 20, liable to deportation to the last port of embarkation at the earliest opportunity. You enter the Bahamas without a travel visa, without meeting the requirements of it, you could be detained, screened, and possibly deported. Where a visitor is detained at a private place, the cost associated with his detention shall be at his own expense. Inter-island travel. A person who travels inter-island as a passenger in any aircraft or vessel from an island listed in the second schedule shall at the point of embarkation produce to the operator of the aircraft or vessel, if he's fully vaccinated, the negative test results of a rapid antigen test or PCR test. If he's not fully vaccinated, the negative results of his RT-PCR test or proof of his exemption from the requirement to undergo a COVID-19 test. Okay? So if you're traveling from one of the islands in a second schedule, which I'll tell you what they are, you shall, at the point of the embarkation, produce the operator aircraft vessel XYZ. Okay? Where's the second schedule? This is for inter-island travel. Okay? There's no fee associated, but which islands are in the second schedule? The islands are Acklands, Barrie Islands, Crooked Island, Eleuthera, Inagua, and New Providence. I don't understand why those are the islands, but those are the islands. Acklands, Barrie Islands, Crooked Island, Eleuthera, Inagua, New Providence. If you're traveling from one of those islands to another island, you got to give the air or boat operator your travel visa, and you're required to have a test, even if you're fully vaccinated. All right? Let us go to cruise passengers. Cruise ship passengers. Notwithstanding all that we just said, a person entering the Bahamas on a cruise ship must be fully vaccinated prior to embarkation and shall, while cruising in the Bahamas, be subject to the testing requirements mandated by the cruise line operator as approved by the minister. Okay, every cruise line operator shall comply with any local or international guidance document governing health in the cruise line industry as approved by the ministry. So don't matter what your status is, vaccinated, not vaccinated, it ain't going to work for cruise ship. You have to be fully vaccinated. All right? That's it for cruise ship passengers, period. All right? Now, also, by the way, if you're traveling inter-island, one of the requirements in law is you shall, when asked to do so, provide the negative test result of the COVID-19 test to an officer of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, Royal Bahamas Defense Force, or the COVID-19 Enforcement Unit. So you got to have your test results with you when you're traveling inter-island. All right? Now, if you don't comply with these requests, you are liable upon summary conviction to a fine not exceeding $1,000. If you're traveling from an island not on the second schedule to another island in the Bahamas, you are not required to undergo a COVID-19 test. So, for instance, if you are traveling from Grand Bahama to New Providence, you don't need a COVID-19 test. If you are traveling, if you are, however, returning from New Providence to Grand Bahama, if you're the very same person, will need a COVID-19 test. All right? However, there is an exemption to entering the Bahamas, which we'll hash out the logic of, but is a dicey proposition. Exemption where re-entry is within 24 hours of departure. Where a person travels from the Bahamas and returns within a period of 24 hours, the person shall not be required to undergo a new COVID-19 test to re-enter the Bahamas. Where a person travels from an island listed in the second schedule to any other island in the Bahamas and returns to the originating island within a period of 24 hours, the person shall not be required to undergo a new COVID-19 test. All right? So let's think this one through. So if I go to Fort Lauderdale Monday morning and I returned to Nassau Tuesday morning, I don't need a test for re-entry. Now, bear in mind, this can work. Although it is dicey, but it can work. If I am leaving from Nassau to go to Fort Lauderdale, I will need to A, be fully vaccinated, and B, have a negative COVID-19 test. All right? Within 3 days, I believe it is. If I'm just going to Fort Lauderdale and coming back, yes, I could have contracted COVID-19 in Fort Lauderdale, but I did have a test from previous. I did have a test previously. And also, if I contracted COVID-19 in Fort Lauderdale from Monday to Tuesday, I would not be at the point where I would actually be symptomatic. I understand the logic of it. I understand the rationale of it, but this presents a problem. Okay? What I believe a better approach may be, and I'm sure you'll throw rocks at me, what I believe a better approach may be is to say, no, you don't need a test if you come back within 24 hours. But you should isolate for 72 hours and submit a test after that point. All right? I think that'll cover you better because ain't no mask requirement, ain't almost no requirement in Florida there. Miami, they're talking about shifting the last call at bars to 2 a.m. They turning it up. So a lot of people over there ain't even checking for COVID. Like, they're just over it. I'm over it, too. Mind you, I don't want to catch it, but I'm over it. Where a person travels from an island listed in the second schedule to any other island in the Bahamas and returns to the original island within a period of 24 hours, a person shall not be required to undergo a new COVID-19 test. That presents less risk to me, if it's inter-island, to me, than saying international. Exemption from emergency travel from second schedule island. Where a person travels inter-island from an island listed in the second schedule for an emergency, evidence by written confirmation from a medical officer of health, the minister, the commissioner of police, or an officer designated by the commissioner of police stating that the person has an emergency that requires inter-island travel, or is an employee of an operator of an aircraft or a vessel transporting freight or passengers in an emergency, he shall not be required to undergo a COVID-19 test. That's fine. I get it. Exemption for specified categories of person. Notwithstanding, Rule 6, a person who is a pilot or crew member of a commercial air operator who is required to spend not more than one night in the Bahamas shall not be required to undergo a COVID-19 test in order to obtain a travel health visa for entry into the Bahamas. Okay. Mandatory post-entry COVID-19 testing requirements. Any person who is not fully vaccinated against COVID-19 and enters the Bahamas or travels inter-island from New Providence shall, on the fifth day of his stay, be required to undergo a rapid antigen test and submit the result to the ministry via its travel health website. A person who enters the Bahamas or travels inter-island from New Providence who's not fully vaccinated against COVID-19, who's out to sea, on the fifth day of his stay, shall be required to undergo a rapid antigen test at the first port of call thereafter and submit the result to the ministry via its travel health website. Where the rapid antigen test indicates a positive result, the person should be required to undergo an RT-PCR test and submit to mandatory isolation in accordance with Rule 21. Okay? If you don't do this, you're liable to a fine not exceeding $1,000 or to a term not exceeding 1 month's imprisonment. Okay? Now, there's also mandatory testing for those who are symptomatic. What does it say? Where does it define? How does it define pandemic? Let me see here. It does not. I think pandemic has a pretty standard worldwide definition. All right. This stuff is duty of household. Mandatory requirement for the screening. Okay. If you're symptomatic, you got to get tested. All right. If they're looking at you at the airport and you look symptomatic, right? You got to get tested. Duty of head of household. Where any resident of any household is symptomatic, the head of the household to which such patient belongs or his nearest relative or other responsible adult in the house or person in charge of or in attendance on the patient shall, as soon as you become aware or suspect the patient is suffering from COVID-19, forthwith inform a medical practitioner that the patient is suffering or suspected to be suffering from COVID-19 and call him in to visit the patient. Where a medical practitioner attends a patient, he shall notify the surveillance unit that the patient is suffering from COVID-19 and submit the patient's name, age, and sex, the patient's condition, if applicable, the description of the situation of the patient's house. All right? Where a patient is not attended by a medical practitioner, the head of household or the other responsible person shall notify the surveillance unit that the patient's suffering or suspected to be suffering from COVID-19. It also says for a death of the patient. We won't get into that. Duty of operator or residential care establishment to report outbreak of COVID-19. We don't need to get into that. Quarantine and isolation. Where a medical officer has reasonable grounds to believe a person has been exposed to COVID-19, the medical officer considers there's a risk that the person might develop that infection. The medical officer may, for the purposes of screening, assessing, and imposing requirements under Rule 19, quarantine that person until the later of the end of the period of 14 days, beginning with the time from which the person's quarantine under this rule begins, or such time as any screening requirements imposed on or in relation to the person have been complied with and the assessment referred to in that rule carried out in the relation to the person. All right? So you can be assessed out of quarantine. You can test out of quarantine. All right? Yes, you can. gets into screening requirements. We don't need to get into that, although they are pretty detailed. Mandatory isolation of persons. All right. Medical officers can make sure that you're isolated. All right. This is a monitor of persons. Offense in respect to violation of quarantine. A person kept in quarantine or isolation by a medical officer of health who absconds or intends to abscond from quarantine, who intentionally or recklessly provides false information to the medical officer or fails to comply with any condition, restriction, or requirement of his quarantine or isolation imposed by the officer is liable to a fine not exceeding $1,000 or a term of imprisonment not exceeding 2 years or to both such fine and imprisonment. $1,000, 2 years if you don't comply with quarantine. All right, let's take a break here. This is a good time to get into the rules for different businesses and institutions. All right, so we'll take a break and then we'll get into that.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
How hot are you?
Hotter than NASA on a July summer day.
What you mean? Popeye's got a sauce hotter than you, called the Hottie Sauce.
Never. Boy, you musty crazy.
Yes, baby. Popeye's has a new sauce from Meg the Stallion.
Well, take me to Popeye's then to see who is hotter, me or this new Hottie Sauce.
Let's go.
Where are my hot girls at?
Try our new Megan the Stallion sauce with our chicken nuggets or chicken sandwich now before it's all gone.
Love that chicken from Popeye's.
So I come to work today, meet my coworker in front of the computer crying. AC sky high, you know, but she's sweating. I ask her what happened.
The bot.
Apparently, she ordered some stuff online, but she threatened with this VAT increase. I told her I cannot guarantee she won't feel the pinch of the increase, but I can guarantee low rates on her shipping fee from airborne freight and cargo services. Then she can ask me if I'm sure they still will give her low rates in spite of the increase. I ask her what but that she don't understand. If she look at the alphabet, she will see. A is A, B is B, C is C. That don't change. 1, 2, 3. I give the answer. Bye-bye.
Call Airborne Freight and Cargo Services at 377-0450 today.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. We're going over the new health rules. We're going to go through the structure of, like, who is, like, how the minister gets to this point. On the other side, but first we're going to talk about some of the rules for businesses. Okay? For businesses subject to the provisions in this subpart, this rule shall apply to all businesses. Okay? A-L-L, right? Not... I'm trying not to beat up on the former administration. Remember when they told you the days you could go fish? The dock couldn't open? Like, make it make sense for me. What was all that about? And people were out there like, yeah, what are you talking about? The dock can't open? I can't go fish out on a boat out to sea around no one? Unless you say so? Anyway. A business may operate provided that business prepares a protocol document containing guidelines relevant to that business as issued or approved by the ministry, completes the ministry's workplace assessment online survey, and ensures that every employee is familiar with the content of the approved protocol document. The ministry may review or cause the review of any business to determine compliance with this protocol document, these rules, and the Health Services COVID-19 General Rules 2021. A business which fails to comply, listen up, businesses, on a first offense may be subject to a fine not including $5,000, on a second offense to a fine not exceeding $10,000, on a third offense, the suspension of its business license for a period not exceeding 3 months. I think that reflects pretty much what was in the emergency order. The minister may, on the advice of the chief medical officer, order the closure of any business due to an outbreak, spread, or occurrence of COVID-19 or non-compliance with COVID-19 protocols. All right? It says the determination to close any business pursuant to paragraph 5 shall be contingent on the full evaluation and assessment by the surveillance unit. Residential care establishments. Every residential care establishment shall limit visiting hours to 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. Every residential care establishment, those are the visiting hours. They must also ensure all persons entering remain in the establishment adhere to COVID-19 protocols. Pardon me. They must also ensure, don't report me, you know, symptomatic, you send the surveillance unit. This says the residential care establishment must have at least one isolation area clearly identified and appropriately equipped. Ensure that all employees are either fully vaccinated or submit to COVID-19 testing every 3 days and adhere to any guidelines issued or approved by the ministry. Now, this, when it talks about businesses, they don't make that specific requirement. When it's talking about residential care establishments, they do make a specific requirement that your employees need to be fully vaccinated or submit to testing every 3 days, because you don't want outbreaks like nursing homes. I get it. Although, fully vaccinated, people can still catch it and transmit it. Anyway, educational instruction. Listen up. An educational instruction, it must be an educational institution. An educational instruction may operate provided that all persons entering and remaining on the campus shall adhere to all COVID-19 protocols, that there is at least one isolation area that is clearly identified and appropriately equipped, adhere to all guidelines issued or approved by the ministry. A person is permitted to operate a homeschool program provided that any guidelines issued by the Ministry of Education are adhered to. I believe the guidelines by the ministry now say you can't have more than 50% of the student population on campus at the same time. I believe that's the case. Other than that, it says you can operate if you're approved. In fact, this doesn't even say you need the ministry's approval to operate. It just says you can operate as long as you follow these things. Yeah. As long as you adhere to the guidelines by the ministry, you can operate if you're an educational institution. Or you can have educational instruction as long as you follow these rules. Salons, barbershops, and spas. A hairstyler, barber, or other cosmetologist may operate subject to being certified by the ministry. The operator of a salon, barbershop, or spa shall ensure that the occupancy of the salon, barbershop, or spa does not exceed one patron per service provider at any time. Restaurants. Listen up. Restaurants. This is important. Because I'm ready now. I'm ready to dine in, dine out indoors. A restaurant may operate utilizing inside dining, provided that all patrons are fully vaccinated or have a valid negative rapid antigen test result. The maximum seating shall be 50% of the seating capacity of that restaurant with a minimum of 30 square feet per person. Seating is arranged in accordance with physical distancing protocols. All right, so restaurants you can open up. Now, the restaurants, like, attached to the hotels could, and guest lodges or whatever could have done this the entire time. Now this is saying all restaurants can do it. So this opens up some significant possibilities. So if you want to, like, go in KFC and kind of hang out, enjoy the ambiance, eat, sit down and eat inside, you should be able to after, as of November 13th. The restaurant seating should be arranged in accordance with physical distancing protocols. The restaurant must ensure that masks are worn by staff in accordance with the protocol, and the masks are worn by patrons when dining at all times except when eating or drinking, and tables, chairs, and other implements used by patrons are sanitized after each use. A restaurant shall be permitted to operate utilizing outside dining, provided that all COVID-19 protocols are adhered to by staff and patrons and tables, chairs, and other implements used by patrons are sanitized after each use. Public transportation. Subject to guidelines issued by the Ministry of Taxi Service, private or public bus service shall operate at 50% of normal seating capacity. Religious instruction, social gatherings, and other activities. You're going to want to hear this. A church or a place of religious instruction or worship may conduct services, including a wedding or funeral, in accordance with the protocol established by the Bahamas Christian Council and approved by the ministry. Okay? You can have a church with a wedding or a funeral in accordance with the protocol established by the Christian Council and approved by the ministry. A funeral service, however, conducted in a church or a place of religious instruction shall be conducted without the presence of the remains in an urn or a casket inside the church. Okay, now, make that make sense for me. You could have the service, right? But the dead person who can't catch COVID-19 can't be in the church. Someone make that make sense for me. Notwithstanding that the church or religious instruction place can conduct services, including weddings or funerals, a church or place of religious instruction or worship on an island listed in the second schedule may conduct services provided that attendance is limited to 33% of the occupancy of the facility. 33%. And yet adhere to the protocols established by the Christian Council and Ministry. So we only get 33%. All right? I'm not sure what the current Christian Council is. Is it 50%? Graveside funeral. A graveside funeral may be held, provided that all attendees adhere to protocols. All right? Now, I believe that would open it up for any amount of people to attend a graveside funeral. So that'll probably have some implications for social gathering. Okay, social gatherings. Let's do this before we go to the break. A person may host or attend a social gathering at a private residence with not more than 20 persons or at a facility, provided that all attendees are fully vaccinated and all COVID-19 protocols are there too. You can have a social gathering at a private residence with no more than 20 people, but everybody has to be fully vaccinated. That's going to be rife with abuse. You know that, right? A person may host or attend a social gathering outside, provided that all attendees are either fully vaccinated or present a negative COVID-19 test, subject to the adherence of all COVID-19 protocols. All right. So this should open up for a lot more stuff being held outside for certain social gatherings. They're allowed if everyone's fully vaccinated or you got a negative COVID-19 test. It's going to open up a lot of stuff. A person who hosts or attends a social gathering contrary to this rule, however, is liable upon summary conviction in the case of a host to a fine not exceeding $2,000 and $300 for each person in attendance. In the case of an attendee, to a fine not exceeding $300. So $2,000 and $300 for each person in attendance, and the attendee to a fine not exceeding $300. This is unfair to me, right? I think if you want to hit them with the $2,000, that's one thing. But to hit me with the $2,000 and pay for $300 for everybody who's there and make everybody who's there pay $300, that's excessive. So they may want to look at that. Recreational and competitive sporting activity. Group recreational and competitive sporting activity may be held provided that persons engaged in active participation, coaches, and persons officiating the sporting activity are fully vaccinated and present a negative COVID-19 test result prior to the sporting activity. The number of persons intended to engage in active participation for any team sport is limited to the number of persons necessary for team play in that sport, and all persons, including team members, staff, and officials who are not engaged in active participation, have to wear face masks at all times. Remain physically distanced. So if you're not actually on the court or whatever, you gotta wear your face mask. All right. You may engage in group exercise, provided the group is not more than 10 persons. Okay? Professional sporting activity. The minister may authorize, in fact, we'll get into this on the other side because this is pretty detailed and it speaks to some interesting things. We'll go to the break for news and we'll be back shortly. Stay tuned.
Of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Atlantic Agents, how may I help you?
Yes, I want to know where to go to get third-party motor insurance.
Are you sitting down?
Yes.
Okay, could you put your feet up?
Okay.
Great. Just go to cgatlanticagents.com, where you can get a quote and buy your insurance online.
Relax. Now you can buy third-party motor insurance wherever and whenever you want. It's as easy as click, quote, buy. CG Atlantic Agents. Good like that. Nassau Insurance Brokers and Agents Limited. Trading as CG Atlantic Agents.
Gentlemen, welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm Juan McCartney. We are going through the new health rules that are being proposed. We believe they will probably pass. More than likely, not too much will shift, but we'll see. I know you're texting, but I have to try to get through this, and then we can discuss. First, let me publicly state, not that this is the public's business, but did you ever find where the thermostat was located? Is it in a secret location? Right where? Is it invisible? Oh, on the other side of this wall. Okay. It's freezing in here. Okay? It is freezing. One of the main reasons I came back to the Bahamas is because I hate cold weather. Hate it. We got to do something about this situation. This is not tenable. I've been talking about this for far too long now. Okay, Professional sporting activity. The minister may authorize the hosting of a professional sporting activity, subject to the compliance by the promoters and participants with these rules. Okay? So we're going to get some sporting events. Hell yeah. So the promoter of a professional sporting activity shall apply in writing to the minister for authorization, and such application shall propose the creation of a bubble, providing for the location of the activity, for the number of persons per team, including officials, players, coaches, trainers, strength coaches, equipment managers, security, and front office personnel, for the accommodation of those persons, for the frequency of COVID-19 testing of the persons referred to, for the number of guests per team, provided that number does not exceed 4. That the venue for the sporting activity has sufficient capacity to enable adherence to physical distancing protocols. A person eligible for inclusion in a bubble must be fully vaccinated and maintain negative COVID-19 test results. So Kyrie Irving, you can't come, bruh. They have an NBA games down here. Where a person in the bubble is suspected to have been exposed to COVID-19 or test positive for COVID-19, that person shall be quarantined, screened, or isolated in accordance with rules 18 to 24. Spectators at recreational, competitive, and professional sporting activities must be fully vaccinated and present proof of vaccination and a negative COVID-19 test result upon entry to the sporting facility. All right? Fully vaccinated, present proof of vaccination, and have a negative COVID-19 test result. So if I want to go, if my son has a karate tournament or swim meet, I'd have to be fully vaccinated and present proof of vaccination and have a negative test result. That seems excessive to me. You notice how, like, it's going to sound selfish, but I don't be checking how they treat the non-vaccinated people anymore. Because I'm fully vaccinated. This is discriminatory, though. If I'm fully vaccinated and I have to provide a negative COVID-19 test result, I should be allowed to go if I'm not vaccinated and provide a negative COVID-19 test result. They need to look at that again. Because I can go to, for instance, I went to Bahamar Saturday evening. It was packed. And I didn't think I had to provide no test or nothing. I just showed them my vaccination card. And that was it. So I can go to Bahamar, where there were 6,000 people, and not have a test, but I can't go to my son's swim meet or karate tournament if I'm fully vaccinated without a test. Make it make sense. Wear a face mask when not eating or drinking at the sporting event. Okay, fair enough. All right. You also get a fine of up to $1,000 if you knowably infect someone with COVID-19. You should probably be required to undergo a psychiatric evaluation if you knowingly and intentionally give someone COVID-19. All right. This is just some miscellaneous rules. We went through the first schedule, and there are also the health service general rules, COVID-19, I wanted to go through very quickly because it deals with a couple of other things, and it explains how the summary convictions are dealt with in the matter of you having a police record or not. Okay? So this declares a COVID-19 pandemic. This says that These rules shall apply to all islands of the Bahamas unless otherwise specified. For the purposes of this act, it's hereby declared that there exists in the Bahamas a pandemic of COVID-19. So again, first thing you do, declare a declare a pandemic of COVID-19. Pandemic's pretty standard. They do define what COVID-19 means. COVID-19 is SARS-CoV-2. As we would all be clear by now. Okay? This says, where we see ministry, it means ministry responsible for public health. Where we see medical officer, it means any medical officer appointed to be a medical officer of health and includes the chief medical officer and a district medical officer. Okay? Functions and powers of the minister. All right, so this is setting up so the minister has these powers, not the prime minister, not the competent authority, the minister of the Ministry of Public Health. In the interests of public health and safety, the minister shall appoint an advisory committee to advise him on the matters referred to in Rule 6, which we'll get to. Provide for the acquisition of sufficient personal protective equipment and human and technological resources. Provide sufficient hospital, medicinal, and pharmaceutical supplies and testing capacity. Take all steps necessary to guard against and prevent the spread of COVID-19 and to generally manage COVID-19. In carrying out his functions, the minister may, by order, impose such restrictions and implement such containment and mitigation measures as he deems necessary. Now, when Dr. Michael Darvill was asked yesterday about the fact that there's no curfew in this, right? So November 13th, curfew goes away. I mean, curfew's at midnight now anyway. I don't think I've been outside of my house midnight for at least 4 years. I lie. I was out of midnight election night. So when we asked Dr. Michael Darvill about this, oh, we have a guest. Okay. We'll get back to the curfews because we do have a guest today. All right. So give me just one moment. Let me pull up my stuff. Okay. So we are going to be speaking with Dr. Rochelle Williams and several others who have been recipients of scholarships from UWC Bahamas. All right? So, right, she was a recipient of scholarship. She's super smart. She took advantage of it. All right. And they now have scholarship opportunities available for other Bahamians or permanent residents. All right. So good afternoon. Dr. Williams.
Warren.
And I'm unaware of who else I'm speaking with.
There's Raquel Sims.
Great.
Who's our secretary. And she should be in with you guys momentarily. And Barbara Ann. Barbara Ann Bernard, who is our national committee chairperson. She's the top of our food chain, so to speak. Is Barbara Ann? Barbara Ann, are you on?
No? Okay.
Okay.
Well, we can talk to you.
Okay. Well, thank you for having us, Juan. We so appreciate it. The long and short of it is that we've been through a really rough year, and we are looking with the glass more than half full. We've got some opportunities, as you said, for some of them are scholarships, or there are partial scholarships, but it's to the United World Colleges worldwide. The deadline is November 30th. It's a hard deadline. Everything is done online. And so those applicants can go to bs.uwc.org. And in the middle of on the first homepage, you'll see the thing that says applications. It's open to basically our thing is Bahamians. you don't have to be born here, but you have to be Bahamian or basically have a Bahamian passport or access to Bahamian documents to travel as a Bahamian. And the deadline is the 30th of November, and the application needs to be in by then. There is criterion. Obviously, good grades are one thing, but the other thing is that we'd like people who are interested in their community, the Bahamas, worldwide, and want to make a difference, want to make a change. The age group is from ages 16 to 18. So you have to be either 16 on entry to the school in the September of the following year, or 18 by entry into the school that September of the following year. So it's basically any child who's got national certificates, BJCs, BGSEs, SATs, along with some other qualifications, being active in their community, being concerned about their community, active doing other things. That's the type of person we're looking for.
Absolutely. So you are a recipient of one of these scholarships. How did this impact your life?
Well, it changed it immensely. I was 16 years old back in the day when you did GCs, and I was looking for an opportunity to broaden my horizons, but also there was an economic factor. My mother was working very hard to send me to private school. So it's open to private and public schools. So it's not about the schools. It's about just being able to apply and meeting the criterion. But it allowed me to go to United World College in Wales. And that was the most amazing experience ever. And the long and short of it is I would not be the person I am today if it weren't for that opportunity. It really helped me to decide what I really wanted to do and why I wanted to do it. And gave me an insight into other people's societies, who I never would have met. I mean, I have friends who are Muslim. Some friends of mine are atheists. Some friends of mine are agnostic. Some of my friends of mine are Buddhist. These are people I never would have necessarily met growing up in Nassau, And it gave me an understanding of dealing with people who are just totally different from me. And that's important.
Yeah, and that's part of the thrust of the program, right? Is for people who want to experience different cultures, who want to look at the world maybe through different eyes and see things they haven't seen. That this would be ideal for them, because it collects students from around the world.
Also, too, it makes you think about. It's about logic and critical thinking. We've been through a very, very rough last 2 years, but still, what's good is that through all of that, you learn to look at information and vet it for what it is and try to find out the source of the information, not just post see and think it's true. The internet's great, but it's good that you can use the internet to try and find the root of the matter, the source of the information, fact checking. And that's one thing we learned at the school, had to fact check. Back in the day before, the whole internet thing, we were able to fact check. We had to learn to fact check. And even now that's one thing that has been throughout all of this time, the students who've gone through this program, they become very, very, very much more critical of what they read and try to find out what is actually true. There must be two sides to a story, not just one person's interpretation. And that's very important in this changing world we're living in.
Absolutely. It sounded like one of our other guests joined. Yes? No?
Raquel?
Which one is it?
Barbara
Ann. I like Zoom. I like to like see who's
Barbara
in front of me.
And Raquel.
I don't want to like all cram up in the room, but it's like, it's good to see. So we got Barbara and Bernard and Raquel Sims.
Yes.
Okay. So Ms. Sims, explain to us a little the technical requirements of qualifying for the scholarship, if you would, please.
So technically, like Rochelle said, we are looking for students that have very good grades, who are engaged in their community, who are interested in things like the environment, gender equality, students who are passionate, who feel that they can make a difference in the world. This year, we are particularly interested in having students come from our family islands. Last year, we were able to give a scholarship to a student from Long Island who was very involved in hurricane recovery in his community. And the year before that, We had a student from Grand Bahama who was very interested in the environment. We've had students who've had a very creative background. So it's really the diversity of students that we're looking for this year. And the process is that they apply through the website, bs.uwc.org, and they come in for an interview when we will ask them really questions about where they see themselves in the world, how they can contribute to the UWC movement, and how they plan to contribute when they come back home.
Okay, excellent. So, Ms. Bernard, perhaps you could enlighten parents and students how to make the application process a smooth one. I do see there a lot of what you're looking for on your website, and it's a broad range of academic achievements that could help you qualify.
I mean, absolutely. Kurt Hahn is the founder of the UWC movement, and he said, "The world needs dreamers, and the world needs doers, but most of all, the world needs dreamers that do." And that's the person we're looking for. This is a community of future leaders. When you go, you are an ambassador of the Bahamas, and there is a kid from every other country in the world there with you as an ambassador of their country. And it just makes things like history and economics such a rich discussion and experience. So this is for people who want to change the world and believe they can. And we're about supersizing talent. And, you know, the most amazing thing about UWC is there's this wonderful program whereby a gentleman in the U.S. by the name of Shelby Davis will give any UWC graduate a full scholarship to U.S. universities. So this is a two-year high school degree that if you get this scholarship, it serves you up to get your university paid for too. So whether you're a student or a donor, this is just such an impactful project. And for any donor out there, I think this is the highest return on any philanthropic dollar that I've ever heard of. These scholarships are all donated. So there is also the expectation that our students will come back and contribute to our very rich community. We've sent over 150 Bahamians over the last 40 years. So it really is a strong track record of success.
Excellent. Well, we thank you so much, ladies, for speaking with us and enlightening us about this. Dr. Williams, if you could, just let them know where they can apply again and what the cutoff date is.
Okay, the website is bs.uwc.org, and the deadline is November 30th. Everything is done online.
Hello? Did we lose him? Oh, boy. We lost him. So sorry to end the conversation abruptly like that. We do want to thank them for coming out the United World Colleges scholarships. Again, if you're 16, going on 17, you can't be older than 18, you can apply at bs.uwc.org. And the cutoff date is at the, I believe it's November 30th, as she was saying. All right? So you definitely should check it out if you're interested in getting a scholarship for your child, or if you are listening out there, you can kind of help yourself. These things help people. Yep. Like, they're not no rich person, but there's kids, university education is all straight and settled. This is how you do it. You go get scholarships, you piece it together, right? Some people get loans. I ain't trying to do all that. So I can put, they can do something, my children. They can study and they can go play something, run something, draw music, something. Okay, we got to go to a break and we're going to come back and we're going to get your views on some of these rules. I'm going to try to break down what there remains and then we'll get your views since time's a ticking. Stay tuned.
Bye.
Hey, you know what going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
BK Nassau and Pepsi want to bring you a fun day on us. Upgrade your favorite combo and get a chance to win great prizes like staycations at Atlantis or Baja Mar, powerboat adventure excursions, or a Blue Lagoon dolphin encounter. You can also win a relaxing day at Sandy Toes or a VIP movie experience at Fusion. Upgrade your combo at any of Burger King Nassau's 7 locations and enter to win online at bk242.com. Win fun days with Pepsi and Burger King, where taste is king.
Atlantic Agents. How may I help you?
Yes, I want to know where to go to get third-party motor insurance.
Are you sitting down?
Yes.
Okay, could you put your feet up?
Okay.
Great. Just go to cgatlanticagents.com, where you can get a quote and buy your insurance online.
Relax. Now you can buy third-party motor insurance wherever and whenever you want. It's as easy as click, quote, buy. CG Atlantic Agents. Good like that. Nassau Insurance Brokers and Agents Limited, trading as CG Atlantic Agents.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises its customers that the corporation will commence disconnection of all outstanding accounts beginning Monday, November 15th, 2021, in both New Providence and the Family Islands. Customers with outstanding accounts and financial agreements are requested to ensure that their accounts and financial agreements are brought up to date as soon as possible to avoid an interruption in service. Should you need to speak with a customer representative, please visit their mall at Milethorne location or the corporation's head office on University Boulevard between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or via local banks, the corporation's website, pay by phone by dialing 302-5630 or any cash and go, Omni Flash Cash or Sun Cash locations.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio. We're talking about the health rules. You need to know them. Some I agree with, some I don't think are fair or can work. But hey, I'll take it over the emergency order. We can always work on this. All right. Now, I was talking about the minister, okay? So I'm going to get to your text messages. Give me a minute. This is a lot of information to get through. So it says, functions and powers of the minister. In carrying out his functions, in paragraph one, which includes taking all steps necessary to guard against and prevent the spread of COVID-19 and generally to manage COVID-19, the minister may, by order, impose such restrictions and implement such containment and mitigation measures as he deems necessary. Okay? So when we went to cabinet, when our news teams went to cabinet on Tuesday, and they said to Dr. Darvill, well, we don't see any curfew in the emergency order. And he said, well, it's not envisioned that there will be curfews, but we can always go back and amend it. In my reading this, he can do curfews without amending this. Now, let me be clear, right? He can operate in a wide range of ways, but you still have constitutional rights in clear areas. So I could say, I don't want to say he can do anything, okay? Because he can't. All right? He certainly can't break any laws. So I could say, if I wanted to take it to the extreme, I could say, well, if I'm interpreting this, he can do basically anything. If he's imposing such restrictions and implements such containment and mitigation measures as he deems necessary, what's to stop him from deeming the summary execution of those who test positive for COVID-19? Right? What's to stop him? I know. I'm looking at the most extreme scenario. I think he can do curfews under this. Now, they don't want curfews. And they said that if they have to, they'd do curfews. But to me, it looks like he can do curfews. Lawyer might disagree, court might disagree. This says appointment. Okay, so the minister must appoint an advisory committee. He has no choice. He must. All right? It says the minister shall appoint. Not can if he feels like it. He shall appoint an advisory committee comprising of persons with the following expertise: epidemiology, supplies, management, and logistics, health services administration at the primary and tertiary levels, public health, management of infectious diseases, laboratory management and pharmaceutical management, and such other medical or other professionals as the minister may deem necessary. Functions of the committee are to advise the minister on the current epidemiological status, inclusive of key indicators of the outbreak of COVID-19, the implementation of measures to guard against COVID-19, the implementation of measures to manage the COVID-19 pandemic, the modification or discontinuation of measures in place pursuant to measures to guard and mitigate and manage, the sufficiency of hospital, medicinal, and pharmaceutical supplies and testing capacity, and the sufficiency of personal protective equipment, human and technological resources. The committee may make such recommendations to the minister as it considers necessary. The minister shall cause to be provided regular official reports to the public relative to the status and effectiveness of the measures undertaken to manage and prevent COVID-19, the statistics and scientific data on the rate of infections and deaths, the restrictions or other measures required to contain or mitigate the spread or occurrence of COVID-19, any other information on the outbreak, spread, and management of COVID-19. All right? Now, face masks are still a thing. Sanitizations are still a thing. Social distancing protocols is still a thing. All right? COVID-19 supplies, COVID-19 testing supplies are prohibited to be imported to the Bahamas unless the supplies are approved by the minister, unless they're licensed under the Pharmacy Act, or are authorized in writing by the ministry to import such supplies. If you import COVID-19 testing supplies in violation of this act, you are liable in each case to a fine not exceeding $10,000, and the testing supplies are liable to seizure. Okay? No person shall engage in trading of COVID-19 testing supplies unless you've been approved for importation. All right? That also carries a $10,000 fine for breaking that. Okay? No diagnostic facility shall conduct COVID-19 tests unless licensed by the Hospital and Healthcare Facilities License Board. All right? That's a $2,000 fine for doing that. Okay? This says, and you're mandated to submit COVID-19 test results to the government within 24 hours if you run such a facility, and you're liable to a fine not exceeding $20,000 if you don't comply with that, and then you're on the second offense, you're liable to have your business ordered to cease operation for a period not exceeding 6 months. Okay? Now, let's talk about this. Okay, so a lot of these offenses are ticketable offenses. They talk about summary conviction, right? So here's the thing. A lot of people were concerned because when the pandemic first started, again, I don't know what y'all was on. When the pandemic first started, they were arresting people and taking them before the court for anything, for coming outside your house, for walking down the street alone, for going to get water to clean up your grandfather who soiled himself. You were arrested, held, and taken to a magistrate, okay? Magistrate would convict you. You have a criminal record. They changed that after several months to make these offenses ticketable offenses, okay? Now, here's how this works, okay? Notwithstanding anything to the contrary in any law, the alleged offender who signs the notice and pays the fixed penalty before the expiration of the date specified in the notice for payment, which date shall not be later than 14 days following the date of service of the notice, shall be treated for all purposes in law as a person who has not committed, been charged with, prosecuted for, convicted of, or sentenced for the offense in respect of which payment was made. Okay? So, even if you are ticketed, no proceedings shall be taken against you until the expiration of the date specified in the notice for payment. So you just go pay the ticket. Now, you could contest the ticket, but you do risk the chance of having a magistrate hear it and finding you guilty, and then you get the fine and you get some money on your record. Does it still go on your record? Let me check. Now, remember one guy told me he got ticketed for smoking in the parking lot by himself? He said he was going to challenge it. I wonder if he ever did. It says, in any proceedings for an offense, which applies, no reference shall be made about the conviction of the alleged offender to the giving of any notice under this rule, or to the payment or non-payment of the fixed penalty unless in the course of the proceedings or in some document which is before the court in connection with the proceedings, reference has been made by or on behalf of the alleged offender to the giving of such a notice as the case may be to such payment or non-payment. So it's this doesn't arise, okay? A notice issued to a person shall, for the purpose of these rules or any other law, be deemed to be a summons issued to that person by the magistrate or the magistrate's court specified in the notice, all right, and the forms in the schedule. There is a couple other things, okay? If you falsify a COVID-19 test, right, coming into the country, you are liable to a fine not exceeding $4,000 and 2 years in prison. Okay? False vaccination record, liable to a fine not exceeding $10,000 or 2 years in prison or both. All right? Now, the minister can exempt a person of business or a class of businesses to which these rules apply from any restriction imposed by these rules. So the minister can giveth and the minister can taketh away. All right? That about covers it. It says, the ministry shall publish and make available to the general public all guidelines or protocols approved or issued by the ministry. All right, yeah, that pretty much covers it. So now you know, right? What do you think is the question? Let's see here. One, why do you think Bahamians are still require a health visa to return to the country even if they possess a negative COVID test at the port of embarkation? Makes no sense. I don't agree with it either. I think that they believe that it's a more efficient way of collecting data for contact tracing and possibly tourism marketing, but I don't see the need for it. You don't need it for the U.S. or anything like that. Good day one, so we have to do the travel visa again. Again, yeah, it never stopped. There's no again, it just continues. Yeah, travel visa, it's a thing. It says, Juan, no fire engine in Cat Island for real? Listen, I'd be surprised if there were a fire engine in Cat Island. That would surprise me. No shade to Cat Island. Does the new order say we have to wear masks indoors and outdoors indefinitely and into perpetuity one? Yes. Yes. So I thought the PLP said this vibe was going to be simpler. All kind of different prices for travel visa that they said was a money-making scheme. What the what? Yeah, I know. I know. I remember, right? I remember. And when that happened, remember at the time of the show, I was like, what are y'all talking about? Mind you, I don't want to pay for the travel visa at all, and so now I don't, and that's fine. I'm filling out the form ain't no big deal to me. Bad move. Nobody will take a test days after return because nobody's checking. They can do what they want. The biggest danger to our lives are people traveling to Bahamas on planes and boats. Just a single one of those travelers could mean another 400 people dead. I wouldn't let anyone back without a test, even if that test is conducted at the airport on return. No one should be able to walk around asymptomatic after travel. And here's the thing with that. Here's the rationale why I understand why they're saying that, but I'm telling you it's a risky proposition. It is because some places in the United States, testing for most places in the United States, you can get free testing, right? Many places, many places. However, sometimes, because the testing is free and there's a high rate of testing, it is difficult to get your results back. It's difficult to get an appointment within 24 hours, and it's difficult to get your results back within 24 hours. So I could understand the rationale saying, well, I'm only going over, popping over. I'm not going to be able to have time to get a test because I'm only there for the day and I got something else to do. Instead of taking a test, you know, I just want to do one thing. So you don't need a test. I get that. But I do think it's I think it's risky to say that you come back, you don't need to have a test or do a test or anything like that. I think that's a lot. Someone saying when they, nobody at all called them when they got COVID and tested positive for COVID. I could believe that. Says, so are they going to apologize to the company they maligned? Yeah, what happened? I mean, I thought Canoe was a corrupt, I thought it was some friends, family, what was it? Remember all this? Right? Canoe still collecting the money, right? So, what changed? You got to be careful just for throwing these things out there, you know, for politics, for political sake. You got to be careful. And what kills me is, more than likely you was going to win anyway. You didn't have to do all that. Anyway, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Bahamas Check Services Limited has been printing checks, business forms, and deposit books in the Bahamas for over 30 years. We are highly specialized in creating custom forms to suit any and all your business needs. If you need continuous forms, continuous invoices, invoice books, or purchase orders, we can provide them for you. Call 677-8720 or email checks@coralwave.com.
Hey, it's spa week. We got what you need. Sit back, relax, and come in for a treat. We just
just wanna make you smile. We will go the extra mile in Baja Retreat Spa.
Come visit us at Baja Retreat Spa on East Bay Street. Contact us at 323-6711 or visit us online at www.baharetreat.com.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio. Talking the health rules. One, yesterday I was at the food store in the East for lunch. Went to the salad bar. There was a man there getting salad with some very dirty hands. Guess what? He was there today also. Hands not as dirty as yesterday, but still dirty. I told him about it, and he was offended. Yeah, people tend to get offended when you tell them about their personal hygiene. Was he using his hands to take up the salad? Is that what you're saying? Did he wasn't using like the tongs or the spoon? I ain't gonna do it. I'm not eating from no public salad bar before the pandemic, after the pandemic, in life. Right? And I know what you're saying. Well, it could be sneezing on your salad in the back. Maybe. But I see how some of these people carry on these open salad bars. It's not for me. Says Juan, I'm so sick of the masks. Yeah, me too. We can't get to any calls, unfortunately. We're just out of time. You could get rid of the mask, but I'm down with the social distancing, right? I tried to practice social distancing prior to the pandemic. I just don't really want people around me or touching me. It's just me. It's also you, but it's also me. A lot of you are very close talkers. You know what I mean? I don't want to have your lunch particles all over me. It says, will the government be paying for testing every 3 days? Don't sound like it. don't sound like it. I think they should continue to have people who work around food wear masks. I don't think that's a bad idea. Me, I don't want to wear the mask. This says, Juan, can you explain why we keep using this approach to COVID? That country, even this obsession with vaccination, I don't get it. The countries with the most vaccinations are having COVID surges among the vaccinated and unvaccinated. I still don't get it. Well, the surge died down after a lot of vaccination. This thing's gonna eventually, I could be wrong, I'm no epidemiologist, but this thing could eventually just hit who it's gonna hit, right? If it keeps varying, though, that might be an issue. One, when you get a chance, can you explain why the test for the unvaccinated is different from the test for the vaccinated? Me? I must explain? No. He who wrote the guidelines must explain, not I. I've come to the conclusion that our medical professionals are experts at thinking fast with complete lack of the ability to think slow. I think this is why the medical professional approach to COVID hasn't changed as our knowledge increased. It's changed. One, to go to Junkanoo and partake in Junkanoo, will we need to be vaccinated too? You ain't going to be no Junkanoo. Nobody told you? That ain't happening. You know when Junkanoo, you know what time it is? Talking about Junkanoo? If it was Junkanoo, they'd have to start preparing at least by summer. When y'all start? When y'all start? Summer, right? For Junkanoo. Yeah, ain't no Junkanoo. Ain't gonna be no Junkanoo. They said they having some virtual event. You can keep that. Is it just me or a lot of this sound familiar? Yeah, a lot of it is existing policy. It says, I understood that the reason for memorial service being allowed in the church without the body or ashes is due to people becoming too emotional. This rule was in place before. I never bought that. Like, you know what I mean? You're going to be more emotional if the body's there or not, you know? They're still dead, right? You're still there. You're gonna be emotional. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Body there or not. Yeah, you could say close the casket so they don't see the body, XYZ. But you could have a memorial service with the body there, but not the funeral in the church. One, isn't the PCR test set to be done away with by the end of fourth quarter 2021? Does the draft amendment speak to the new test about to be approved? I don't see anything here about any new tests. I'm not sure exactly when they're moving on from the PCR test. Lots of these rules and requirements don't make any sense. Why get vaccination then and still pay for COVID tests? I won't be eating to any restaurants anytime soon. I can save my money. No, you don't need a COVID test to eat at a restaurant. You either are fully vaccinated or you need a rapid antigen test. All right? No, it says the big costumes they start creating from January. Yeah. Either you're vaccinated or now you need a vaccination and a COVID test to attend a sporting event, which makes no sense to me. It says, I thought Dr. Darville was smart. What's the logic behind any vaccine mandate or requirement if vaccinated persons can contract the COVID virus and transmit it to others? What's the point except to push this experimental vaccine on people? But it's not experimental anymore. They approved it for full usage. Pfizer, anyway. This doctor also pronounced in June 2021 that the unvaccinated will not be discriminated against. The lies have begun. Now, I'm with whatever science shows me. I don't like vaccine mandates. I don't like big pharma. All right. Now, someone's saying you have to be vaccinated and take a test. I don't know. This, what is this, the Tribune? I don't know. Let me look. Let me clear that up for you. Let's just be certain. All right. Okay, for sport and activity, you need vaccination and test. For restaurants, no. Tell the Tribune that that is incorrect. Okay? Tell the Tribune that that is incorrect. Tell them they should correct their story while they're running Adrian Gibson talking about our story. This says a restaurant may operate utilizing inside dining provided that all patrons are fully vaccinated or have a valid negative rapid antigen test. Okay? Tell them, fix that. People are going to be misled. Hey, Juan, the minister is a competent authority, but he's just trying to make sure that he's not called one, but he's still a competent authority. Tomato, tomato. I don't care what you call him. You could call him Master Jigglypuff. It don't matter to me, as long as we ain't doing these crazy emergency orders where you shut down and start stuff on a dime. It says, Juan, what do you think about the sporting events in the U.S. and elsewhere where you see a full stadium of people without masks? Yeah, I mean, it's risky, but they, look, at a certain, you know, the Americans are over it, a lot of them. They're just like, man, look, I ain't trying to live like this. What are y'all talking about? This ain't my version of life that I'm willing to accept and deal with, and it is what it is. Okay. It says, correction, the Pfizer version of the vaccine is not going to be able to 2022 or 2023. What's in circulation is still under emergency use authorization. You correcting me? Because I remember specifically when the FDA approved Pfizer fully, from what I saw. Now, the Pfizer for kids is still emergency use, as far as I know. Now, what else we got here? That's a lot of text. Since 4,000 and 2 years in prison? You sure it's or 2 years? You sure it's not or 2 years? It's $4,000 or 2 years in prison or both. So if the judge is feeling particularly aggrieved, you could get it with both. Hey, Juan, this travel visa for Bahamians traveling back home from the USA makes no sense. Just yesterday, I know about 20 people who got left the United States from the Balearia Fast Ferry into Grand Bahama. Sad day. Just tell them anti-vaxxers to shut up because no man is an island. Says, system's too complicated. If police stop me in a family island, I say I'm from Grand Bahama, how will the police be able to prove it? You can buy in USA over-the-counter antigen test for $12. If I bring one home for my own use, what's the problem? I should be charged if I intend to charge someone else for using that test. True. Plus, you know. Anyway. Hey, Juan, remember when Minnesota allowed people to come back into the country without a negative test? The numbers went up, and this new government criticized them, and they're going to do the same thing. This is another example of why people say there's no difference between the PLP and the FNM. Yeah, the 24 hours thing's a gamble. So I thought this government campaigned on doing away with the travel visa. That it did. That it did. So it's not the vaccine that's making a difference. The strain just played itself out. No one else left to infect or less vulnerable to show up asymptomatic. Our next spike will be triggered by a new strain brought over on a plane or boat. Okay. If that's your estimation, okay. I told y'all, I told you months ago that we were going to get to a point where vaccinated people could do many things and unvaccinated people were going to continue to have their rights restricted. Do I want that? Would I like to rage against the machine about that? I don't want that. I would like to rage against the machine about that. But make no mistake, we're in the machine. All right? The Matrix has you. I'm going to make my Matrix existence as comfortable as possible for me. Now, I'm fooling with this 5 to 11-year-old. I tell you what. When you vaccinate at least 10 million American children, and you could evaluate, because the test I was looking at, they said it was around 3,000 5 to 11-year-olds they conducted this test on, and that's not a big enough sample size to pick up adverse effects among a broad population. It's just not. And they know that. When you vaccinate about 10 million American children, and we could look at the data and see what happens 2 months out or so, then we'll talk about me vaccinating my 5 to 11-year-old children. Until that point, that's not going to happen. Okay. We got to go. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing, and we'll talk some more. You guys take care out there. Have a great day, Bahamas.